Who's here for CrossFit? Who are the CrossFitters in the room? I've seen you, Heather. Rob? I'm still working on it.
I know, you are.
All right, let me cue things up here. When I say it's a privilege to stand here and speak today, I really mean that sincerely. I'm going to share today the story of a man who found peace with God through one name, and that is Jesus Christ. It happened unexpectedly. It was undeserved. It was not something accomplished through any man's goodness, but by God's mercy towards one who did deserve to be condemned forever. A man who found, though, soul-deep assurance and expectation of heaven. A man from whom death, when it comes, for whom, when death comes, it will be with anticipation, glad anticipation of life beyond imagination. He found forgiveness for sin so deeply rooted there was no emerging from that dark place. Apart from the incomprehensible power and sacrifice and light, grace and love of Jesus Christ. I'm saying that name right up front because I want you to know where we're going today. As you can guess, that man is me, but I'm not an unusual story. I know many people who God has reached through Christ and transformed them in unexplainable ways. Men who are in prison. Doug, where are you? You know this. You guys who have worked with those guys. Years away from any chance of parole. Who have great joy. Who have said to me that they wouldn't trade being on the outside for this relationship that they've discovered with Christ, which has given them new life while they're incarcerated. I know people, myself included, who thought God could never accept me for after what he knows about me. Businessmen and athletes who have reached pinnacles of success, who would gladly sacrifice that success for what they now know about Christ in their life. I know veterans with traumatic injuries and PTSD who use their suffering for good as a platform to point others to the one in whom they found hope. I know people who thought they had it all figured out, intellectuals with answers, until they didn't have the answer. And then, humbled, they turned to Christ. I've seen marriages restored after affairs and reconciled through the work of Jesus Christ. I've seen people die with great anticipation of what awaited them on the other side, suffering from cancer, suffering greatly. And I've seen others with great fear of what's to come. Personally, I've experienced the sorrow of losing loved ones while at the same time rejoicing for them in anticipation of a one-day reunion. All because what Jesus has done. Because what we see here is not all there is. Many have their own story, many in this room, of life-transforming power of Christ. Don't you guys? I want to invite you to consider for yourself today what to do with what you hear. To give adequate and deep thought to what you might do next and how one man's experience applies to you. Because these moments together, this is not about this man or that cool experience. This is, my words carry no weight apart from the truth that they hope to convey. And that truth is found in the person of Christ. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about CrossFit. We'll touch on some of the cool things, the cool factor. But you're invited to come to know him today. Ultimately, really, today is about you and him. That's what this is about. And how you respond. is up to you. And I also realize that I speak as if this historical figure, Jesus Christ, is real and that he's alive. But I also speak as one who believes that and knows that to be true in here, and also knows that you matter to him. You know, I've been surprised by age now that I stand here. Can anybody testify to that? How quickly it's come? I mean, it's just fun. You know, when the elders would tell us that life is short, and now we're here, and we realize that life is short, it's real. I was driving along one day about 10 years ago, and I was kind of praying, and I'm going, is this all there is? I'm on this downhill slope, and I'm talking about my physical condition, you know, just how I was feeling about things. I was feeling physically, I was feeling this loss of energy, brain fog, I had gained weight, and I was getting some run-ins and going to visiting the gym and doing the treadmill thing and all of that, and it wasn't working. And then I discovered CrossFit. And if you aren't familiar with CrossFit, it's a methodology designed to achieve well-rounded fitness, level us up. So through proper nutrition, combining activities like running and jumping and climbing and carries and Olympic lifts and gymnastics, powerlifting, all kinds of things. And it's all fun. I mean, it's fun and it's challenging and it tests you and it kind of brings you back. Heather, it kind of brings you back, right? I mean, to your competition days or to your, you know, just to youth and the fun that you have in that. And that's part of what makes this effective. I believe that pursuing a healthy body and mind is really, is good stewardship of the gift that we have, that we've been given. It's a vital component to life. It's something that we should pursue as long as we don't make more of it than we should. A physically healthy me is more effective in this world, in my relationships, more attuned to what's going on, and not hindered by the things that could affect me. And I know that from experience because I've had chronic issues in the past with my back where it's just taken me down, limited everything, and lived with pain for some years, and significant pain. But as much as is in our power, I believe it's important that we do take care of these bodies. And in the end, yes, we're going to fold up our tents, you know? But in the meantime, speaking as a coach, let's take care of them. Okay, let's do our best with them because this tent doesn't belong to me alone, that's the thing. It doesn't belong just to me. It belongs to him who created it, but it also belongs to those around us. Life is short. There's a poster, kind of an interesting thing for me to experience daily. There's a poster hung on the wall. It's about like this in the gym, and it's of me. it proclaims me fittest man on earth in my age group. And you know, it's kind of cool. I don't love looking at myself, but I am challenged by that face daily to work, but it represents an experience I'm happy to have had. It was very cool to be at the CrossFit Games, which is really the pinnacle of success in CrossFit, and hundreds of thousands of people start online doing this in the CrossFit Open that moves to quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the games, and it goes narrowed down to a few. And so that was very cool to hang out with all the athletes that I've seen for years. And rub shoulders with these. I mean, some of these ladies are doing these days and lifting, putting overhead, and the things that they are accomplishing is just kind of blows your mind if you watch them. But you know, people who say age is just a number, though. I understand the sentiment behind that. It's don't be held back by age and don't limit yourself because of age. You know, keep moving, keep learning, keep growing. And all of that, but all I have to do is look in the mirror, and that face has a lot of numbers. I see a lot of numbers out here too. It's true, right? And we may slow the slide a bit, but the edge of the cliff, it's waiting for you and me to arrive. And so that's what's important here. The Bible describes our life as a vapor. It's like it's here, it appears, and it's gone. That's the older we get, the more we realize how true that is. It's here and it's gone. However, the decisions we make within this flash of time, this vapor that's here and gone, affects us for all eternity. Right? I want to take you to a cold March night in central New England, where I was a broken man, on my face, on the floor, the center aisle of this little stereotypical church, you know, white steeple church with the common and everything. It's a church that I grew up in New England, where I first heard about Jesus. You know, Jesus was attractive to me. I thought, yeah, I could relate to Jesus or thing. But, you know, life had taken me off. And I'm vacuuming down the center aisle in the dark with the light of this vacuum leading me. I hadn't even turned the lights on. I dropped the handle, vacuum still running. I collapsed to my knees and to my face in despair. I grew up in New England. I lived there and then worked for SeaWorld of Florida for a few years after marrying my Canadian wife, Joanne. And we had returned to Massachusetts for various reasons. While in Florida, one of my brothers died in an auto accident. And that was from the curse of alcohol and drugs. The effect of alcohol and drugs has been exponential in my family. It's taken people out, and for anyone who we need to be aware of how what we do affects the lives around us. So there's been a lot of suffering as a result of that. A year later, my youngest brother broke his neck on a dirt bike and was paralyzed from the neck down. My mom and dad were suffering. We're in Florida. They're in New England. They're carrying this incredible weight of grief and care for their paralyzed son. I mean, if you've ever cared for someone in that condition, it's 24 hours. And we decided it was time to move closer to family. So, and to add to that, my marriage was extremely troubled. I was barely holding things together financially. So I'd gone from had this cool job, swimming daily with killer whales, performing before thousands of people a day. You know, there's that cool factor that accompanied the job, being interviewed in the papers and things like that. I went from that to digging holes in the rain and the mud and cleaning toilets and picking dried Play-Doh off of carpets. And I'm going, what has just happened to my life? What just happened? As I drove down the highway, I found myself looking at bridge abutments. And I'm wondering, how fast would I have to drive into the one of those to take myself out? But I knew I could never do that to my family. I couldn't add that. But it does describe the state of mind. When I describe my story, when I talk about this, I know, or I surmise, that some of this is connecting with your own lives. And so there are crossroads in our lives. There are times where we need to look back, and it's helpful to look back and go, you know, God was doing something there, maybe you ought to pay attention. Look back, see those touch points. Where was he leading? Where did that lead to? How did I respond to that moment? So I hated feeling so weak and vulnerable. None of us like that, right? I mean, there I was, though. I'm collapsed on the floor. I'm practically tasting the carpet. And if I could have sunk further, I would have. So here's this strong, self-sufficient man crying out to God with words that I wanted to hold down but couldn't. I can't do this myself. I need to know that you're real. I need to know. And I can't go on without you. Somehow, show me that you're real. And in that moment, the darkness of that aisle on the floor, lights from cars passing through the windows and into the room, were glancing off a cross at the end of the aisle. And I'm looking at that cross, and I'm just bowed down. And it was like someone laid a heavy blanket over me. And the way I can describe this is like a blanket of peace. A heavy blanket of peace. Sounds good. I rose up and not really understanding what had happened, but confident that God had heard. And then things got worse before they got better. Reflecting back, I can see that those moments, I was crying out for some relief when what I really needed was rescue from my sin-clouded state of heart and mind that existed without God. For a few months after being face down on the floor, my wife and I, so this is a way that there was a crossroad there, and this is a way that God started to work, and I was beginning to recognize that. We started to attend a church that had a marriage class, and that's the reason we started, but also started because I saw my brother, my younger brother, transform before my eyes. He was a very difficult person, and then he became this totally different person, worshiping God. I mean, from to worshiping God. He was a great musician. He would set up his keyboard array and just play and fill the house with this music that he arranged in ways that just you couldn't help but be moved by it. So we went to that church and we started to be taught Bible. Actually learned from, they taught the Bible instead of ideas on the Bible. And then instead of finding the Bible threatening, I found a hunger for it. I found it to be life-giving. And while I stood there, I often couldn't sing the songs, the worship songs that were going on, because I was just welled up with these emotions inside. Could barely get through it. A couple had come beside us and just helped us along in this time. Something was going on in me, though, that was drawing me towards God, while at the same time revealing some ugliness, some real ugliness. And I wrote a song about this experience. It's a way that I find to express myself, and I've shared my song, music with some, but the lyrics weave my experience with others that I see in Scripture. I want to share those lyrics with you and then comment a little bit and see how it connects with you, because this was a very real experience for me. It's like I see myself for the first time, the curtain drawn back on my soul. Truth is burning in my heart, and there's nowhere to run from this light. No dark place to hide. Face to face with who you are. With who you are. It was my hands that drove the nails and held the spear that pierced your side. I raised the cross and I mocked your name. How can this be that you're calling mine? Face to face with who you are, I see Christ, Son of the living God. So here I bend, here I fall, in the presence of the Lord of all. I'm a soul undone, overwhelmed by the love I found here at the cross. Your eyes have seen to the depths of who I am. Your grace is almost too much to bear. I am but a breath, and yet, my God, you died for me. You gave me new life. My Savior chose to bleed. So here I bend, here I fall in the presence of the Lord of all. I'm a soul undone, overwhelmed by the love I find here at the cross. The depths of my sin was being revealed to me. God was showing me that I didn't just need relief and then to move on. I needed new life that could only be found through coming to terms with the fact that I couldn't come to God on my own merit. There was no, well, I'm not as bad as that other guy. I needed him to deal with me in his way in his time on his terms. And I was literally struck dumb by the thought. The lyrics describe the sense I had of standing before God with nothing to say. Nothing to say. Nothing that would justify my passing into heaven. In God's face, in my mind's eye, I didn't see anger or condemnation, though. I saw compassion. I saw sadness. But I also saw invitation. On a mountainside in New Hampshire, I was at a men's retreat, and I pulled two men aside, one a pastor, one who became a very dear friend. There had been chaos in my mind. My heart's churning. My mind's just like this cacophony of noise. And men were worshiping, and during the music, I just felt alone in a crowd. You ever felt that way? You're there, but you're not. I couldn't sleep. God was pressing me to a breaking point. Now I look back and I see his purposes for that. I didn't know what to do with what I felt like was going to send me over the edge. But the Bible contains a verse that somehow it must have been mentioned during that weekend that's become, for me and for many others, very alive to me. In the little book of 1 John, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All unrighteousness. Contextually, that verse appears to be written to believers who've trusted in Christ but still deal with lingering sin. And that is a truth for us. We're going to struggle until we go home to heaven. But here, my experience was the truth of that verse for the moment. And so let me interject here for a second. I very intentionally not highlighted my personal sins here. I don't want that to be the focus. I want the focus to be something else the Bible tells us that, shall we say, is very inclusive. A word we use a lot these days. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does all mean? It means all, yeah. All have done enough. All have done enough to need salvation in Jesus Christ. To need salvation in Jesus Christ. Together with Pastor Dan and my friend Tim, I said in essence, God seems to be bringing this stuff up in my mind that I had buried as if it never happened. I'd forgotten about it, but it's there. It's real. Other people have suffered because of what I have done. The things that I have... And not only that, but what's gone on in my heart and all that, you know, that if we start gathering our sin and see the exponential effect of that, we would just be devastated. Thank God in his grace that he doesn't show us all of it at once. He deals with us a little bit at a time, and that's grace, isn't it? We talked together, and I confess. And we prayed, and in the morning I had felt alone in the crowd. In the afternoon, all I wanted to do was worship God, to hear from his word, from that Bible, and to sing to him. In the morning, I felt like my head was going to explode, and in the afternoon, I had such peace, it was unexplainable. My head was clear. Even nature looked more beautiful to me, and I always loved nature. I talked to another friend thinking this was going to go away the next day, like I had just had some kind of psychological release of things. But you know what? As difficult as life has been, I've grown from that day to trust and love God more since that day. There's never an end to discovering more about him through Scripture and the joy of being with fellow believers who are also growing in him, learning from him. And also hungering to know him more. And just to mention that, with this team from CBMC, there are guys here who can help you along in that journey. To know him more. And to know the riches and the treasure that it is. To know God's word. But to grow in his word because he has spoken it. So that you can have life. My life, You know, I want to interject something about my SeaWorld experience here. I should have died one day in the pool in an accident when I was smashed in the head, flush in my face, by the 7-foot-wide tail of a killer whale, who took off in a flash and I was in the way. It was like somebody wound up with a bat and just smashed me right in the face. My life was spared that day, and I should have gone unconscious and drowned, because there was too many other things going on. I should have just passed out there and been done. My face is a little different these days from that experience. But according to God's purpose, I'm here. And I'm here for you to testify from personal experience of the love of God and to invite you to know Him. I'd like to take a minute to pray for you to consider what little you've heard today, and there's so much more, but I've shared just enough. Maybe planted a seed, curiosity or desire, but also the seed of need. We need Him. And I need, who cares what Ken needs, but I need you, like in my heart, to know Him and to grow in Him and to give your life to Him, because He is the path to life. He is the way to life. And so, would you mind if I pray for you guys and kind of join me in your prayer and your hearts? Father, I thank you for these men this morning. For whatever reasons you have brought them here in this day and in this time at this luncheon to hear these words. Also for you, Heather, sorry. There's a woman in the room. For all who are in this room, Lord, every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And we need you. And I pray for each one of us as you work in the ways that you do, that each one will face up to their sin and take it to you. First, Jesus' first words in ministry were, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," was to turn around, turn from the direction you're headed, have a change of mind, a change of heart, and look to Him. And so I pray for that, for anyone in this room who needs to make that decision, to place their faith in you today. And for those who have been discouraged in their walk, that they would know the empowering grace of God that continues to work in the ups and downs of this life in Christ. Jesus did not invite us to the easy life, to heaven on earth. He invited us to walk in faith. And so, Lord, thank you for the faith that you plant in us to even respond in small ways to what you're doing. Amen. I'd like to invite Doug up for a minute, and then I'm going to close with just a few seconds.
Thanks, Ken. Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, if you would, on your table is a little manila envelope. If you go ahead and pull that out and pass those cards around. I'd like to just go over this real quick and get these filled out. So, I'm going to fill mine out with you. Just name as legible as possible, please. You should see my handwriting. Company. Home address. And what city that's in. Phone number, what's the best way to reach you? Cell, home, maybe text, what's your phone number? Email, Okay, and guest of who? Who invited you today? Maybe the name on your table, it says table number, but who invited you? Brothers, then on the right side there's some boxes. And if you prayed to receive Christ today for the first time in your life, check that box. What would happen is you might get a phone call from a man who loves Jesus and would like to celebrate with you. Just talk about some next steps. If you've known Christ as your Savior, but you've made a renewed commitment because of what you heard today, that second box is where you would make a mark. If you'd like to hear more about CBMC, we do a whole lot more than luncheons. I'd be glad to give you some information on that. At the bottom, connecting with a Christian mentor. Ken spoke of that. This is biblical, and everyone has mentored someone in golf or fishing or something. And Jesus has a plan for that. Connecting with other Christians. Learning to walk in the business world with Christ. Peer advisory groups. This is another element of CBMC. We'd love to tell you more about it. If you'd like information on any of those, please make a mark right there. So, when Ken finishes here, we'll be dismissed for today. Thank you very much for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the next event.
Thanks, son. By the way, I mentioned up front, if anyone wants to know more about the CrossFit Games experience, then come and see me afterwards. Also, if you want to talk further about what we talked about today. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin, the due payment, the thing that we have earned from our sin is spiritual death. To exist eternally apart from the goodness of God, that's not something we want. I used to consider surrender to myself, to God. I used to consider surrender to God as kind of sentencing myself to a prison cell. Like, it was all about the rules. It was all about the religion. But frankly, I didn't want to stop sinning. That's really the bottom line. But I saw it as that I would be confining myself to a cell. Except I was living in the prison. I was living in the cell. I was shackled. Today I stand before you. I'm here as a new creation. Free and transformed and cleansed from my sin through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who bore the incredible weight of that sin. I want to just issue a little bit of a warning. The Bible even talks about God revealing himself in part through creation. And even there, he speaks of the inclination of our hearts to suppress the truth. If you want to look that up, it's in Romans 1. It seems like the longer we go without thinking about God, the darker it gets. The longer we go without thinking about God, the darker it gets, the harder it gets to see it is to see Him. Life is short. It's a vapor that comes and goes. We don't know if we have tomorrow. The decisions we make in this time determine where we are for eternity. And I invite you to look up today, to recognize where your help comes from, to acknowledge from whom comes your very breath. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord of all, came to reconcile the world, and that is you and me, to himself for all eternity. So if your heart is stirred today to pursue him further, don't let it fade. Talk to one of us, talk to Mike, Tom, Doug, or others here. And thank you for the privilege of being here to talk with you today. In Jesus.
Thank you.